is Corner Pillars, a podcast where we share life's experiences in view of God's greater story. We're your hosts, Christy,
Kimberly,
and I'm Vicki.
The idea of corner pillars comes from Psalm 144:12, where David prays that God would make our daughters like corner pillars, fashioned for a palace. As daughters of the King, it's our desire to be corner pillars, becoming women of substance and beauty, where our lives put God's story on display. Today's podcast, we are going to be discussing joy and talking about it in terms of biblical joy. And as we have figured out after a pandemic and higher prices at the gas pump, inflation, all that sort of stuff, joy can be really hard to find. Mm-hmm. It doesn't just kind of bubble up from us because life is disappointing. And I think the older I get, the more I recognize it's not just there to be had. It's kind of elusive and I have to actually work for it. And so today we're going to be talking about how do we actually obtain biblical joy? What are some obstacles that are in our way? And how can we find a deeply rooted sense of joy in our lives? So we know that true ultimate joy is not going to be had until heaven. Right. So that yes. complete sort of shalom or sense that everything is right in the world is not going to come until heaven. But is there a sense of joy that can be accessible to those who are followers of Jesus? And that's going to be hopefully where we go today. Real joy is given to us by God here on earth. And so joy means that we are rooted in God's fatherly love. Mm. And so if we know him as Father, that puts us in a place to be able to receive his joy. So our first kind of area that we're going to be talking about is what biblical joy looks like in everyday life.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so I was reading a devotional and the writer said, joy is the deep experience of adequacy and confidence in the midst of conflicting experience.
Yeah.
So let me just say that again. Joy is the deep experience of adequacy and confidence in the midst of conflicting experience.
Yeah. So it's different from that kind of that innocent childhood joy that we might experience when we're young because we don't know what life has. We're just, you know, kind of joyful because the day is sunny. We're joyful because we got to do what we wanted to do, you know. But as life goes on and we experience hard things and we experience disappointments and hurts and tragedy, those things are in our mind, you know, and so where can we go for that sense of biblical joy you're talking about, Christy? What are some of the sources? Well, there's one source, mm-hmm. but what are some of the ways or the paths to get to that source of joy, you know, and how can we share the experiences of what God has given us in that department?
Mm-hmm. Because I think so much of what we're looking for is that happiness that mm-hmm. we might have experienced as a child.
Yeah.
And we sometimes go through life and are like, where is that yeah. happiness?
Yeah.
And sometimes I think it is through those challenging situations where it's actually this almost paradox that yeah. sometimes that it's in the midst of our challenging situations where we truly find our joy. I know that that was the case for me, that in the midst of some of the most challenging times of my life, mm-hmm. that's where my relationship with Christ became very, very real. Yeah. It was prayer became conversational mm-hmm. with God as I started to look to him to talk through and process through all of those things that were happening in my life and realize that he was the well that yeah. was pouring into me. And mm-hmm. that was a place, even in the midst of hard things, that was a place where I found some joy and security. Yeah. And that's, I think, going back to even the what you had mentioned in that quote, the adequacy and the confidence in the midst of conflicting experience. It was not my adequacy at all. It was the fact that he is completely adequate to come and take care of me in the midst of my inadequacy.
Yeah. I'm thinking right now of the woman at the well, you know, from John 4, and the fact that, man, she was not just physically thirsty, she was spiritually thirsty. And Jesus recognized that in her. And he knew that she would keep coming back and coming back for that drink of physical water, but he knew what her real need was, you know, and it had nothing to do with her physical circumstances, but it had to do with coming to know him.
Yeah.
And what a change that made when that finally sunk in for her.
Well, I think a piece of joy there in the midst of that situation is the fact that he saw beyond her circumstances and saw her.
Yes.
And talked and spoke right to her, and she understood that.
Yeah, very true.
Yeah, and so it seems like developmentally there is a need to have our kind of superficial areas of joy, those wells, to dry up so that we can tap into the deeper well, which will never run dry.
Yeah.
And at first, it doesn't seem like God's being very nice to us.
Yeah.
Like, where's my joy? Where's my joy? But he's kind of weaning us off of the more immediate gratification areas of what we thought was joy in order to get us to a place where we can experience a supernatural, really supernatural sort of joy. It's just not, it's not a natural thing, again, that bubbles up from us, but it does kind of bubble up from us if he's living inside of us. But he's not necessarily, he doesn't make it super easy right away.
Yeah.
And so that's where it can be a little discouraging because life is disappointing.
Yeah.
And then God doesn't always just come to our rescue and make us happy.
Absolutely.
But he may be putting us on a pathway to his heart to know him deeper, to rest in his love, and to feel more secure in his love at the end of that process. But it doesn't always happen right away. And I think that's what can trip us up as Christians, because we kind of expect God to just do things quickly on our terms and to, you know, make it feel okay. But he's helping us to learn how to walk by faith and not by sight or not by our feelings. So he has a bigger agenda for my life than I have for my own life.
Yeah.
And so I have to get kind of on his agenda in order to see his heart and to trust that he does have resources available for me. And he can give me an experience of adequacy and confidence in him, even and because I don't find my adequacy and confidence in these other kind of superficial things that, you know, once were part of my life or once used to be able to satisfy me.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw a question out there, and we didn't really have this planned, but what do you ladies think of the term joy in the journey? You know, and could you comment on that? I feel like there's joy in the journey as we see Christ coming into our journey and becoming part of our journey and meeting our needs through his presence. But I'd love to hear what you all think about that.
Yeah, I think that that's a really good paradigm shift because we often want God to make the destination be the joy, like getting what I want. And it could be really good things. Having a nice marriage, getting great kids, having effectiveness in ministry or in my job or whatever it is that I want. There's an end goal.
Yeah.
And if you say there's joy in the journey, then it's switching what the end goal is. The end goal is not the thing out there. The end goal is the relationship along the way that's being formed and forged in the midst of the ups and downs of the journey.
Yeah.
As I think about this, it's almost like that that innocent childhood joy that we had originally, and maybe some of the looking forward to what our life is supposed to be like, and some of those disappointments that come along the way because it doesn't end up like the picture that's in our mind. And yet, as we walk along in this journey, and we trust in our Savior as we do it, we find that there is joy in the midst of the stepping and the walking along with Christ along the way, because the end journey, even when we're walking with Christ, doesn't always look like the picture in our head.
Yeah.
As we walk with him, we trust him to lead us to the next place, even if the destination is maybe different than what we thought it might look like.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I always think about, like, memories and relationship are made in the journey. They're not necessarily made at the end of the road. So I'm just thinking of times when I've been out with my family. We're a hiking family. We like to go out in the wilderness and go places. And I can remember times when we've reached our destination. And I can remember times when we're like, you know, the kids are getting tired and they want to turn back. And we never get where we intended to go. But we've got memories of those times together. Mm-hmm. And some of them were, you know, children whining. And some of them were discovering new things that they've never seen before. But there's a relationship that's being built together, even as we're experiencing the hard, the sad, the good, the exciting, and the discovery. Mm-hmm. So I just was thinking of that as we talk about joy. There's joy in how we're building that relationship with God as we're walking with him. That relationship is becoming stronger.
That's excellent.
Well, and I think as you look back, you see the story in the different chapters of your life as how you've walked with God. And that gives you courage and it gives you trust in what he is going to do in the future.
Yeah.
Right. It's like stones of remembrance. You know, you built this pillar to remember how God has been with you.
Yeah.
So that gives you encouragement for the unknown future.
Absolutely.
And I think the older we get, the more we realize how little control I have over my future. And that can be desperately discouraging, or it can be wildly exciting, because now I don't hold the keys of my future in my hands. I know the Lord does, and I'm learning how to trust him. And now I have a shared story with him.
Yes.
His story is becoming my story. My story is reflecting on his story. And now I have stones of remembrance. I have stories that I can share with people of who God has become to me. All the things I knew in my head and maybe I memorized about who he's supposed to be. But now I know that I know that I know because I've experienced it.
They're becoming tangible to you.
Yeah.
I can think of things that I've pursued thinking that thing will make me happy, right? Mm-hmm. So you pursue it and you get there and you're like, oh, this isn't exactly what I thought, or this is different, you know? And I really thought that obtaining a thing or whatever would bring joy, but I was wrong, you know? And when I was able to allow God to redirect me or just allow him to lead the way rather than me trying to bring him along in whatever I was doing, my perspective changed and I grew and my relationship with him became deeper because I was allowing him to be the leader and finding my joy in just being with him and following him. And there's a great assurance, you know, when you know that God is with you and leading you. To me, that's a really huge component of joy.
Mm-hmm. It's a sure foundation.
Yes, for sure.
For your life. And I think of joy as a byproduct.
Mm.
So if you go at joy directly, you can't get it.
Yeah.
Because it's so elusive.
Yeah.
But joy is a byproduct of pursuing something that's eternal.
Yeah.
So when I'm pursuing that relationship with God, then joy is the natural byproduct of what he's doing in my life. And again, I can't demand it. I want to be joyful today.
I'm going to be joyful
today.
People
talk about choosing joy. I'm like, okay, I can choose it, but I can't manufacture it.
Right. Yeah.
I don't have the power to manufacture it.
Mm-hmm.
So I really have to put myself in a place where I trust that God will come through for me and he will provide the emotional support that I need to be joyful.
Yeah.
So it's really not the pursuit of joy. It's the pursuit of the one who supplies joy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
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 And he is full. He is fullness of joy.
In his presence. I love that verse.
His presence is fullness of joy.
It's fullness of joy. And it's really true. Mm-hmm. But boy, it's hard sometimes to break those other things out of our hands, mm-hmm. you know, that we think are going to do it for us. It's hard to let go of those things. Mm-hmm. But boy, when we do, there's reward, and it's Him. Like, He is our reward, mm-hmm. you know, and brings us that joy. Yeah.
And that might be why we need biblical community, which we've talked about on this podcast, because it's really hard to do that on my own. Because I lose perspective. I was thinking about, you know, even what are some obstacles to experiencing joy? And I think, you know, seasons of discouragement or suffering really do, like, just zap us.
Yeah.
And we can be laid low, and we can start to kind of envision God doesn't love us, doesn't care. He's not fighting for us. And that can be a really tough place to be. And I've been in that sort of a place, and I've needed other people to believe in God's heart for me and to give me a vision for that. So I can see that, you know, other people in our lives can be part of the joy-filled journey.
Yeah.
It's not just me trying to make it happen, but other people can be part of that. So what about you guys? What are some obstacles that you have encountered when you've been, you know, just trying to find your joy?
I think busyness is something that hits me. I think hits a lot of people in just the task list of our day and lack of sleep and trying to find or make balance in the different areas of your life, that it's just like there is not time to pursue joy. Mm. And it is like, oh, I just can't. Mm-hmm. And it's feeling so stressed and so burdened by all that needs to be done that I feel like there's no joy in this.
Mm-hmm. And there's no time to sort it all out either.
Like,
right?
If I could just go calm and sit and seek the Lord, and yet sometimes in the midst of the harried schedule, it's where is there time to fit in time for that? And the priorities feel all messed up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's a good one. I can totally resonate with that.
I can too. When I think, for me, the thing that most often robs my joy, you know, we have an enemy. And he would love to steal our joy, because then it kind of brings us to a halt, right? Like, we kind of stop that journey when we don't feel joy. So one way that he seems to come at me is through relationships. You know, so in my gifting from the Lord, I'm a shepherd, right? I want to see people grow, and I want to see harmony and have this relationship with people. But when something gets in the way of that, it really can steal my joy for a very long time. Mm-hmm. So even as I'm pursuing, you know, strong relationships and peace and harmony, the enemy would try to get in the way of that and shut me down, because he knows that my history is of shutting down when there's conflict. Mm-hmm. So for me, I try to recognize that's the enemy. Mm-hmm. And he knows that if he can discourage you through a relationship, you will draw back. Mm-hmm. And then it's reminding myself I'm a child of the King. Mm-hmm. And the enemy can take a backseat, because I need to continue to pursue, you know, whatever it is that God has, you know, in my life. And so, yeah, I think when we pay too much attention to the enemy and listen to him, that's a real joy robber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
for sure. When I hear you say that perspective, that it's that perspective shift, that when I keep hearing things or the busyness or whatever it is, that I need to keep going back to, but what does truth tell me?
Yeah.
And that's a piece of even my own expectations of what the particular situation should look like. Mm-hmm. If I don't step back and go, wait, let's look at what God has in the midst of this, that I could even rob my own self of joy.
Oh, yeah. I'm really good at self-sabotage.
Self-sabotage.
Yeah. Yep. And kind of piggybacking on what you said, Vicki, is sometimes I attend to my fears more than attending to God's reality, which is I'm paying attention to all the unknown and all the, you know, the what ifs and the sense of anticipating something bad.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so then my defenses are all up, and I'm all stressed out, and I'm envisioning bad things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of envisioning, I have a good God.
Yeah.
I have a loving Heavenly Father. I'm not an orphan. I don't have to do life on my own.
Right.
I don't have to make this thing work to somehow glorify Him. Well, He is glorified when I am in His presence.
Mm-hmm.
And there's fullness of joy there. And the outcome can just be up to Him. And so if something bad befalls me, it's okay. So I don't have to live with this kind of like white-knuckled fear.
Right.
You know, anticipating the future and trying to like block it all off and, you know, nip things in the bud and be, you know, ultra responsible. I mean, I want to be responsible and anticipate things that you should be, you know, being responsible. But I cannot figure everything out and attend to it all, because I think that steals my joy when I think that if it's going to be, it's up to me. Mm-mm. That's a really bad place to be. And I have to start to recognize that mindset that's at play. So you talked about recognizing there's an enemy, you know, recognizing when I'm getting too busy and things are pushing me instead of me being on top of it. And I have to start to recognize there's fear and anxiety that's pushing me.
Yeah.
And that's not my destiny as a child of God, a daughter of the King.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just even need to recognize that, what is fear? What are we bringing to the table?
Yeah.
I know that a year or so ago, I started looking at Psalms and claiming, no good thing does He withhold from those who walk uprightly. Like, He's not going to withhold good from me in the midst of all of this. Even if I don't see it happening right now, He has good that is planned, that is for me.
Wow.
And I trust in Him in that.
Yeah. He's not frugal with His goodness. It's like generous. It's like it's pouring out where I can't even contain it all.
Yeah. I was thinking of I'm going to call it a button that I push sometimes, but I mean, a lot of people are familiar with Romans 8:28, for God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him, for those who are called according to His purpose. But Romans 8:29 is all about us becoming conformed to His likeness. And so there are times when I'm like, stop, Vicki, stop and think about what is God doing? He's conforming me to the likeness of His Son. And in that, I know I will find joy. And so it's just getting that different perspective in my mind, that my expectation is not that verse on the coffee mug, which can be a little bit misleading, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God is going to give us happiness through everything. No, you keep reading. Keep reading. You know, He's conforming me to the likeness of His Son. And that's what brings true joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we've kind of transitioned into some of our collective wisdom, as little as it feels like. But where have been some places that you have found that help ground you in joy? And if there was somebody who was listening today who's really struggling to find joy, maybe they feel like, I've lost my joy, I can't find it. All the things that, you know, I know about God, it's just not really helping me. What would you say to somebody who's really struggling to find joy?
Yeah.
For me, it is putting those things that I know and talking with those things with the Lord. It's processing through, and it's talking with Him as a real person, because He is. And it is claiming and saying, I know this is true of you and of your character.
Yeah.
And even admitting, God, I'm not seeing the joy in this. Help me to be able to see the joy, because you live within me. Help me to see what you're planting in my life right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, like I can't muster it up.
Absolutely.
I can't envision it. Will you help me to envision what you're envisioning with how this is all going?
And sometimes the voices of the fear or the stress or the enemy are so loud that we don't hear the calm, still, steady voice of the Lord. And sometimes we just need to have a few minutes of quiet to be able to say, God, help me to be able to see from the perspective that you do, because I'm not seeing it.
Yeah, I love that. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking along with that, God, help me to remember in the past where you were faithful.
Absolutely.
Rehearsing.
And I can't remember if we talked about this in an earlier podcast, but I journal. And it's not always writing. Sometimes it's writing. Sometimes it's a picture. Sometimes it's just colors on the page. Hmm. But they're memories for me of what God has done. And they're memories of what God has shown me in the past. And for me, when things are really hard, when I go back and look at what he's done before, I remember. And I love that song, The Goodness of God, because it says, all my life, you've been faithful. Mm-hmm. You know,
I
and
cry when I hear that
song. I
know,
right? I just love that song. But it became a theme song to me when it came out. It was a difficult period in my life. And I was like, wait a minute, God has been faithful all my life. And I've got to give him praise for that. And I've got to trust that that character that I've seen for umpteen years is going to continue. His character does not
Absolutely.
Change. And so even though something is really hard right now, I know that God is faithful, you know, and I know that he's walking with me and I know, you know, that he's good to me.
Hmm. Yeah. And in that song, your goodness is running after. It's running after me. It's
right.
not just me trying to pursue him.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
He's actually pursuing us.
Yes.
And so when we recognize that it's not all up to me, and so it kind of goes off of what you were saying, Kimberly, like invite him into the struggle.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Ask him to help us. Like it's not just me trying to make this thing work and become joyful.
Yeah.
It's inviting Jesus into the struggle and admitting that I can't manufacture this on my own. And so whatever emotions you want me to have, Lord, help me to have the mind of Christ. And you know what? We have the mind of Christ. That's actually true.
That's
of
a scripture.
Us. We have the mind of Christ. So help
yes.
me to see this
yes.
from your perspective, Jesus,
mm-hmm.
because you have a bigger plan going on and I don't understand yeah. it. And I want to submit myself to that bigger plan. And that just, again, releases this place of trust, this place where I can rest, this place maybe where I have to move forward mm-hmm. and gives me confidence to move forward into something that feels scary and unknown. And then it helps me to praise him because then I think about the ways he has helped me in the past. So kind of going back to what you were saying, Vicki, you know, rehearsing yeah. in my mind. So not just my own experiences, but I would add rehearsing who he is.
Yes.
So praise him for who he is, even if you don't feel it.
Yeah.
So even this morning, I was telling Vicki as we were starting, I just feel a little fragile today. And I'm not sure why. I don't know. Whatever. But there was a song that was kind of going through my head. And it starts out, or the chorus is, "Behold our God seated on his throne. Come, let us adore." And I think, I played it for myself and I just start crying yeah. because I'm like, yeah. that is our God. Behold our God.
Yeah.
I have to like, he's always present with us,
yeah.
but I have to become present to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to become conscious of his presence and who he is
yeah.
and that he is, nothing can compare. So this stuff that is stressing me mm-hmm. out or is, you know, causing lack of joy, feeling pressed in on all sides, that's nothing can compare if I can behold him. So I have to fix my eyes on him. And sometimes, you know, God has given other people the ability to create music mm-hmm. or create words mm-hmm. that remind us of ultimate truth. And then that invites us to praise him, even though I don't get up in the morning like, hey, let's praise the Lord. That's not always the way that I feel. Mm. But I can overcome my feelings and enter into praise and ask him to help me. And it is a sacrifice of praise,
mm-hmm.
right? So
sometimes
I have to sacrifice my feelings to praise him and remind myself of ultimate truth.
Sometimes even the stories of others can bring us the greatest joy. Because even as
yeah.
you talk about music that was written by other people, we enter into the music that they wrote
yeah.
and the story that is behind that song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes the things that bring us joy are being able to see the stories that God has written on the lives of other people, because we look at their lives and we connect with them as people who live when we do, and we can see what God has done in their lives. And I can think, that is the very same God that I live for and that I worship. And if he can do that in their lives, what can he do in mine? Mm-hmm. I don't have to be so overcome by my own circumstances that I can't see beyond them to see the God that is so much bigger than my circumstance.
Yeah. So back to community, right?
Absolutely.
Like the community of faith, and then the ways that we can help by our own stories to help others to enter into our joy.
Because even as I'm on this walk and this journey with Jesus, I don't walk this journey alone.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah. So that collective, the community of saints helps us to find our joy, find the pathway back to joy. I want to end with a quote, and this is actually a book that Vicki gave to me quite a few years ago. It's called A Reason for Joy.
Oh, yeah.
And the author's last name is Thigpen.
Yep.
Can't remember his first name.
I think it's Paul Thigpen.
Paul Thigpen. And it was just such, it's a great book. It's a really practical, but also deep dive into joy. So he says, as long as the thing we fear fills our field of vision, we're unable to see God beyond it. Teach me, Lord, to make a gift of my fears to you, to wrap them up in prayer, toss them to you in worship, and leave them at your feet. Whether or not you immediately change the circumstances that frighten or concern me, you'll be changing me by drawing me close to you and stirring up in me the joy of your presence. Then, faithful Lord, I'll be able to sing with the psalmist. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commands. He will have no fear of bad news. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is secure. He will have no fear. In the end, he will look in triumph on his foes. And that's from Psalm 112. So with that, we leave you with thoughts about finding true biblical joy. Thank you for joining us on Corner Pillars podcast.